Good morning, First Assembly. You ready to worship the Lord this morning? Let's stand and let's begin to lift our voices and our hands and our hearts. Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence in this place. And we are just excited to be in your house today. We worship you and we give you all the praise. In your name, and God's children said, sing it out, I've got a river. And I've got a river of living water, a fountain that never will run dry. 'Cause it's an open heaven you're releasing. We will never be denied. We're stirring up. 'Cause we're serving up deep, deep wells. We're serving up deep, deep waters. We're gonna dance in the river. Dance in the river. We're serving up deep, deep wells. We're serving up deep, deep waters. We're gonna jump in the river. Jump in the river. Deep cries out, deep cries out to, deep cries out, deep cries out to, we cry out, we cry out to you, Jesus. I've got a river, living water, a fountain that never will run dry. 'Cause it's an open heaven you're releasing. We will never be denied. Oh, we're serving, 'cause we're serving up deep, deep wells. We're serving up deep, deep waters. We're gonna dance in the river. Dance in the river. We're serving up deep, deep wells. We're serving up deep, deep waters. We're gonna jump in the river. Jump in. Everybody singing now. Deep cries out to you. Deep cries out to, deep cries out to. We cry out to you, Jesus. Deep cries out, deep cries out to you. Deep cries out, deep cries out to. We cry out to you, Jesus. 'Cause we're falling into deeper waters, calling out to you. 'Cause we're walking into deeper waters, going out to you. We're falling into deeper waters, calling out to you. Oh, we're walking into deeper going after you. Deep cries out, deep cries out to, deep cries out, deep cries out to. We cry out to you, Jesus. Deep cries out, deep cries out to, deep cries out, deep cries out to. We cry out to you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, good morning, First Assembly. What a good day it is to be in God's presence. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go lower the word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for this day and this moment, God, for the season and the time that you've given us to come together corporately and to worship you. And Father, we want to do so in spirit and in truth. We want our hearts to be focused on you, Lord God. We want our minds to be focused on you, Lord God. We want our spirits to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God, because in that and through that we grow and we become more like you. So meet us in this place today, Lord, I pray today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. I want to walk you through a couple of things before we get rolling. And the first is, today is our New Friends Luncheon. And what that is if you've been a guest with us over the last month or even today, right after service, just out of these doors, you kind of go out of this door and hang an immediate right. That's our guest connections area. We would love to meet you there. Love to say hello. Love to make sure we get your information. But also, we have a deal with a local restaurant. And we can provide transportation if you need it, or directions if you want to drive and meet us there. But we would love to sit down, break bread with you. How many know free food's good food? And just take a moment to hear your story and get to know you a little bit better. So if you're a guest, we would ask that you consider coming to do. Right now media, listen, this is pretty cool. We're going to talk a little bit more about this a little later in our service, because we actually have a video that we're going to show you about. But right now media, I'm actually really excited about this. The only way I know how to describe it, and I've heard it described, is kind of like a Christian Netflix. It is an absolutely amazing discipleship tool for you as an individual, for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for anything. It is a website that is just slam-packed full of amazing speakers. Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley, Mark Batterson, Max Lucado, Christine Kane. I mean, about anyone you can think of who does great, great teaching is on this website. And you can get on it, you can go to it, you can type in marriage, and everything that's on marriage is going to pop up. If you're looking to do a devotional individually, you can find that. If you're looking to do something for your family, you can find that. If you want to do a small group at your house and do a study on 1 Timothy, you type in 1 Timothy Bible Studies, and it's there, and there's videos, and there's content, and it's absolutely amazing. And what our board decided at the very last board meeting was that we were going to purchase rights to this and get access for this and then provide it to all of you for free. And so, yeah, it's I'm telling you, it's going to be absolutely amazing, and I know you're going to love it. And so what we're doing, we're just kind of letting you know about it this week. Next week, we're actually going to have stuff on paper for you to be able to get, take home, sign up, and then use it. And the great thing is this, here's what's cool about this, Dottie, is if you're here next week and you get the paper and you get to go to Right Now Media and you check it out and you go, oh my gosh, this is amazing, I love it, you can give it to whoever you want to. And they can use it too. But don't tell anyone. For free. So that's the whole thing. We're picking up the tab. And you guys get all the benefits. And it is absolutely worth checking out. Okay, we're going to have a video later to kind of show you. And we're going to walk you through a little bit more. And then next week, we're going to actually walk you through the process of how to do it. But listen, Right Now Media, if you can't wait, you can go home and Google it and look at it, check it out. I've been on it several times, and it's just brilliant. It is brilliant. And so please be watching for that. Backpack. I said backpack. Bok, bok. I felt like a chicken. Back to school drive. Our goal is 150. We're sitting right now on 71 backpacks. And again, these are backpacks that are custom built for that grade. We don't just kind of throw some tissues and some glue sticks. I mean, kids got to have something to eat, right? Pencils and an eraser and say, hey, we gave backpacks to school. We have contacted the school. We've contacted each teacher and gotten a list from the teacher of what those students are going to need for that grade. And we are purchasing those items. Mount Vernon Community School, one of our neighbor schools, absolutely a blessing to be able to do this and to be a part of this. We're on the way. We got to stay faithful. I need you to dig deep. $30 a backpack is what it costs to do it. So please do that. Please be a part of that with us. If you write it on your giving, you just need to write backpack and let us know how much to put towards that with your tithe and offering. The other thing is upcoming events, Helping Hands, Wednesday groups, Pathway to Healing, One Life Sunday on August the 6th. Flourish worship experience in August, men's breakfast. Man, somebody bought me a shirt the other day. I actually wore it to the gym. It's red, and all it says on the front is, "You had me at bacon." And I wore it, man. It made its appearance at the Y. And I'm working out hard because I can eat more bacon. I love it. Save the day. We got community outreach on the 25th and the 26th of August. We're going to go out Friday night, canvas the area. That Saturday in the evening, we're going to go do presentations and do hot dogs, all sorts of great stuff. Please be a part of those things. Real life, if you're interested in becoming a member of First Assembly, we're going to offer two classes. We normally do this on Wednesday nights in the spring, early summer, and then in the fall. But we're going to offer one kind of going into the fall a little bit on Sundays. It's going to be a two-week class after church in room 207. I know there were a lot of folks that were interested in that. Please contact the office, sign up so we know you're there, so we know how many books to have. Great process. I know that you will love it if you do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand to our feet. And if you would, reach over and take the hand of the person that you're standing beside. And as I pray for you, if you'll pray for them. And we've been in a series on worship, talking about worship. And one of the things that we've been saying, that the starting place of worship, that the starting place for you this morning, starting place for me this morning, is in repentance. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to start in that place. Asking God to forgive us. Asking God for careless words that we've said. For thoughts that maybe weren't in alignment with who He is. Let's start this morning in our hearts asking God to forgive us and then to come and to fill us today. Make it personal. Church isn't just a corporate thing. Coming together as a body, we are stronger than we are individually. So I understand that part of the body. But this morning, your heart matters to Him. So let's take a moment and let's meet with Him. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You for the cross. And I thank You for the work of the cross. And I thank You that it forgives us. And Father, because of what You did on it, Lord God, we are healed and we are strengthened, Lord God. That we can be forgiven, Lord Jesus. And we pray for that. We pray that right now, God. That this morning, God, as we look back over the last week, Father, up to this moment, things that came out of our mouth, God, things that we thought, things that we dwelled on, Lord God, forgive us of those things. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for maybe not handling people the way we should have handled people. We should have been kinder, should have been loving, but Father, we were tired or stressed or whatever our excuse was. God, forgive us for that, because you are never unloving to us. And so, Father, forgive us, I pray. And Lord, we now come and say, Jesus, with clear hearts and with clean spirits, God, will You meet with us? Worship is the encounter with God. It's not what you do to get to Him. It is the encounter. So, Father, as we go into our time of praise and we go into our time of worship, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will have its way in us. That You will touch hearts today. That You will encourage lives today. Father, You will bring confirmation of things that people have been stirring and they think they hear from You, but they just need clarity, God. In our worship, God, may You speak clearly to us, God. In our worship today, God, may you, Father, heal us completely, I pray. In our worship today, God, may You bring the breakthrough so that we know what to do and when to do it and how to do it, Lord God, so that we might give You praise and give You glory, because You are a God who is worthy. Father, I bind the enemy today in the name of Jesus Christ and all of the distractions and all of the things he tries to bring into our hearts, God, to make us be here but not be with You. So, Father, today our eyes are set and our hearts are set. And we are saying, You are our God and You are our King. And we're going to praise You, because praise is what comes when we anticipate what will be. Worship is what comes when we see who You are. Thank You for being our Savior. Thank You for being our God this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Now put your arms out like this and find somebody who fits in between them and give them a big hug this morning.
sing with us as we open up with our second set of worship. Let's not hold back today. Let's give Him everything. Come on, let's give Him glory in this place. You are worthy.
Oh, how beautiful are You, Lord, and it's Your words, it's Your love.
Oh, how glorious.
Oh, how glorious are You, Lord, and it's Your power, and it's Your cross
that saved me,
that saved me. It rescued me just a moment there, set me free. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. Jesus, I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory, Jesus. And oh, how beautiful are You, Lord.
It's Your words.
And it's Your word. And it's Your love.
Whoa.
Oh, how glorious are You, Lord. 'Cause it's Your power. And it's Your cross that saved me, and rescued me.
Let's not hold that.
Just a moment there to set me free. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. Jesus. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. Jesus. I give You glory. Oh, oh. And with the crown of thorns, You became a king forever. And with the crown of thorns, You became a...
He became our king.
And with the crown of thorns,
yeah.
You became a king forever. And with the crown of thorns, You became a king forever. That saved me. And rescued me. Just a moment there, set me free.
Save us,
that saved me, and rescued me. Just a moment there, set me free. Tera gloria, gloria. Tera gloria, gloria. Tera gloria, gloria. And how to Jesus. And tell glory, glory. And tell glory, glory. And tell glory, glory. And how to Jesus.
We give You glory.
I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. Jesus. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. I give You glory, glory. Jesus. I give You glory.
Jesus.
just give him glory in this place.
We give you glory, all of the honor, because you are worthy. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire.
That's right.
You alone are holy, holy you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
To you our hearts.
To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, holy you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign that we are here for you. And we are here for you. Just let your bread come from heaven. Fill our hearts just with your light. 'Cause we are here for you. Are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. To you alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open, nothing here. Let us shout, be your anthem, your renown, fill the skies, 'cause we are here for you, and we are here for you. We are here for you, here for you, and we are here for you. Hear our hearts, to you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, holy you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Let your fire fall down. So we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. be welcomed in this place. Oh, be welcomed in this place. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, let your fire fall down.
Sing it one more time.
To you our hearts are open, nothing is hidden, you are our one desire. Your fire fall down. So we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty.
Come on, right now, in your own words, welcome in this place.
Jesus, you're welcome in this place.
Come on, let's just push a little deeper right now. God, you are welcome in our hearts in this moment. We don't want to pass this moment and not hear your voice. We don't want to pass this moment and not let you do something in our lives. We need you.
Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. In Christ in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's Christ alone, cornerstone.
in the Savior's lamb through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior. Oh, He is Lord, Lord of all. Oh, He is Lord of all. He's Lord of all, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, flawless to stand before the throne. Flawless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's land through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's land.
Upon the waters, when great unknown, when feet may fail, and there I find You in the mystery and ocean sea, my faith will stand. Deepest waters.
Chorus that one more time.
Thank you that we can stand here today and sing that and know that it is true that God, we are yours. You are our God and that we are your people, Father, and you make ways for us, Jesus. You have blessings for us. You have promise for us, God. There's hope for us because you and you alone plan our futures, God. And so we stand here today in this moment. We thank you for your goodness and greatness. We thank you for your presence that is with us. And God, your promises that are yea and amen to those that believe. And we sing praise to you because there's nobody like you. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Let's thank Him one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to have our ushers come. We're going to continue our worship by having our tithes and offerings. And it's a joy to be able, amen, joy to be able to give to God. I think that's an important thing. We believe what His Word teaches. And here's the thing. We want to grab hold of the promises that talk about healing, and grab hold of the promises that talk about breakthrough, and grab hold of the promises that talk about He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Grab hold of the promises of all the ones that we like. But then when it comes sometimes to tithing and offering, people kind of go, well, you know, I don't know. I think that's just an Old Testament thing, or I just don't know how I feel. Listen, it is something that is in His Word that He teaches in the Old Testament. He gives us all the law about it. But in the New Testament, here's the thing that people... In the New Testament, tithing is talked about and it is discussed. And it's done so as an assumed thing. That's something that every follower of Christ should be doing.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? It's not... In the New Testament, He doesn't say, well, you need to give 10%. That's assumed because it's been a part of their culture and part of who they are. That's a given. And He says, now follow me with your heart, soul, and mind. And it's a great thing. So we create opportunities for you to do that, because I believe when we honor God, I believe that God honors us. And so we're going to do that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will bless this giving, God, our offerings, our tithes, Lord God, and let it go towards building the kingdom and honoring you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your promises. When you say, test me in this, you say, test me in this, God. And so, God, we're going to give, Lord God, and we're going to see you show yourself strong. Thank you for your love and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Welcome to First Assembly.
We are so excited that you are here and can be a part of our 2017 theme, Enter In.
Si usted requiere traducción, tenemos audífonos en el vestíbulo.
We would like for you to take a moment to see some of our upcoming events. If you are newer to the congregation, we would love to invite you to the new Friends Luncheon today, right after service, meeting in the Connection Center. One Life will be having their annual Sunday Sunday on August the 6th at 3 p.m. at the home of Pastor Chris and Megan. There will be a Helping Hands outreach on Tuesday, August the 8th at 9:30 a.m. in room 207. If you are interested in becoming part of the First Assembly Nursery Leadership, be sure to contact Becky Mitchell for more info. If you are interested in becoming a member, be sure to join the Real Life Membership classes, starting on Sunday, August the 13th at 12:30 p.m. in room 207. If you would like to be a part of giving to the community, be sure to be a part of the Back to School Backpack Drive for only $30 per backpack. If you have testimonies of what God's doing in your life through the ministry of First Assembly, we would love to hear about it. Just send your story to amen@firstassembly.org. We would like for you to take a moment to see some of our church safety reminders. And if you have any questions about our safety reminders, please be sure to contact the church office. If you're on any social media, be sure to connect with us. For dates, events, and information, follow us on Facebook. Or, if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at @first_assembly. If you take a picture and want to tag us in it, follow us on Instagram. And you can always visit us online at firstassembly.org. And be sure to download our church app, because we always want to keep you informed. On the lower level, there's a nursery that provides child care and age-appropriate lessons. And if you have any questions, please be sure to see one of our children's ministry volunteers. Just look for the blue or black vest. Also, a reminder to please silence all cell phones and bring your little ones to the lobby as needed. If you are a first-time guest, we would love to meet with you today, right after service in the new First Assembly Connection Center. Also, don't forget to pick up a welcome packet from one of the ushers. Thank you for watching. We hope you can be here for next week's edition of First AG TV.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics. To pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
I'm telling you, you're going to want to check this out. You're going to want to check this out. Again, this is something that the church is going to buy a subscription to. And when we own the subscription, what we can do is give you the sign-in and give you everything. You get it completely free. You can give it to your sons, your daughters. You can bring it to your friends. You can give it to whomever you want. And what I love about it is not only, I mean, there's just not a topic you can come up with that there's not teaching on it. And I'm not talking about, you know, Joe Blow down the street. I'm talking about guys that write books, guys who are well-known, guys who are just going to be able to take that level of knowledge and put it in your computer, to put it on your mobile app. What? Well, I say guys as a general term. Ladies too.
You're right.
They're always right. I married her. I knew she was Mrs. Right. I just didn't know it was always right. I didn't know it was a first name. No, I'm just messing. Anyway, this is going to be phenomenal. And we've been on it. And for those of you with kids, just tons of material for children as well. What's in the Bible, stories of the Bible, all sorts of stuff done in a very creative way, done in a very up-to-date way. You will absolutely be blessed by this. And what I would love, this is what I would love. I would love for literally everyone to sign up for this. You can use it on your internet at home. I have, you know, we have Netflix and I have my phone. I can open something on my phone and throw it on my TV. You can do that. You can do family devotions. You can invite neighbors over. I think one of the things we need in this world is community. I think we have so many ways to connect with people, so many different ways. We have phones and text and Snapchat and Facebook, and we have all of these connection things, and yet so much of it is false community because it doesn't really build true relationships. And I would love for everyone to take this and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to talk to a neighbor or two, and we're going to get together, and we're going to do a Bible study on marriage or raising children or whatever. And free to you. You're going to love it. I'm just rambling. You're going to want to check this out. So next week, we're going to be here again, and we are going to have the directions to sign up for this. We're going to be giving you the information, and so if you're not here this week, or if I guess you are here this week. See, Bob, you got me messed up. I got to focus. If you're here this week but not next week, na-na-na-na, boo-boo, okay? No, we will be able to make sure that you get that. And again, we want you to feel free to give it to others. This is a great, great discipleship resource for your family to walk in the things of the Lord. And so let's be about that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word, God, and that it is life to us. It is the bread of life to us, that we can eat of this and we'll never hunger again, Lord Jesus. We can drink of this and have that living water, Father, and we'll never thirst again. So, Father, this morning, I pray as we get into your word, Lord God, may you take it and drive the seed of truth deep within our hearts and deep within our souls so that, God, it takes root and bears fruit in us, that we will be what you say we are. Thank you for doing that in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You have your Bibles. You can turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. We're still in a series on our seven pillars that First Assembly believes that we are to build on as a church. And every once in a while, we kind of teach on these seven things just to let you know, hey, listen, when you want to know about our worship, when you want to know about our discipleship, when you want to know about our classes, when you want to know about who is First Assembly, what is First Assembly believing, what is First Assembly going to be a part of, you can look at our seven pillars. It's everything we do is connected to one of these pillars. And I believe that for a church to be a living, breathing, God part church in this day, you've got to have these seven things functioning in the church for the church to be what God calls it to be and for the church to function the way God calls the church to function. And the great thing about this is that not only does it happen at a church level, but it happens at an individual level. That each of us need to be a part of a church that has these things, but we also in our own lives need to have these seven pillars at work for us to be what God says we are and for us to do what God says we can do.
Amen.
Amen? How many of you want to do what God says you can do? How many of you ever, you read the word and you see God saying, you're this, you're more than a conqueror. We can lay hands on the sick and see them healed, and we can speak blessing and breakthrough and all of these things, but your life seems very ordinary. See, I don't want to just read about it and say, oh, wouldn't that be nice? I want to read his word and say, I want to live that in my life right now. I want to experience God and the fullness of God in my heart right now. And I believe these seven pillars help us to do that so that we can do what God calls us to do and be what God calls us to be. And so we've been talking about the very first pillar for the last couple of weeks, which is worship, having a passion for God. And last week we took a few minutes and we talked about the power for worship, the power that is in worship. And there is a power in worship that changes lives. And the thing is this, it's meant to be experienced. It's not meant to be something you just kind of come and watch. Okay? It's not something you say, oh man, they're worshiping. Oh man, they're worshiping. Oh look, man, they're having an awesome time in God and I'm watching and I feel good because I see God moving in people's lives. God says, I don't want you just to watch. I want to move in your life. It is something that should be experienced and then it's something that should be shared. You see, when we come together in the presence of God, it should humble us, it should empower us, but it also motivates us to go and to tell someone, because when you experience something great, you don't want to keep it to yourself.
That's right.
Man, when you experience something, you're telling it to people who don't even care. You ever told me, I'm standing in line at the store buying my wife flowers. People are like, man, I don't care. What are you talking to me for? Yeah, love my wife. Why are you talking to me, sir? You know, I mean, when we experience something great, we want to share it. And David in Psalms 40 gives us a glimpse of this type of worship when he was praising God for what God had done. And David said, many will see this and worship him. You see, there's a celebration in worship that comes from our heart to God. And it's a vertical thing. When we come together and we're led and we look, we set our eyes and our focus on Him, worship rises up. Scripture says that Jesus inhabits the praise of His people. That's what that's talking about. But then from our worship, there's this horizontal proclamation that when God is doing something here, I'm going to share it here. The people around me are going to experience it. The people around me, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to encourage them. Because if God's done it for me, God will do it for them. And David couldn't be silent about what God had done for him. You see, our worship will always be a witness. There's a power in worship that we need in our lives. There's a power in worship that inspires believers and impacts the lost. And God created it this way, that when we come into His presence and there's worship like this, it fills us with joy and it motivates us to go tell somebody. And you know what? Even though the world may not understand everything we sing and everything we do, and they may not understand all the functionings of the church, but they know what joy looks like. They know what a changed life looks like. They know what peace looks like. And Scripture says that when we lift Him up, that it will draw all men. Well, God fills us up so that we go share it, so that they come in and experience Him. And then He fills them up and He sends them out. It's the way of the church. It's the way that the church was built and the way that the church should walk. So worship is more than just a Sunday thing. It's not a Sunday 10:30 to 11:15 type deal. It is an every day of the week life. It is us living our lives for Christ. And so I'd ask you this question last week. Does the way that we worship attract people to Christ? You see, there are things that if we only hear, there are things that we will only hear in times of worship. We looked at scriptures that, man, people were looking for things, and God had there was a moment of worship, a moment of they came together and they sang praises. They came together and they gave God glory. They came together and they saw God clearly. And then God moved, or then God spoke, or then God gave them the answer or the clarity or the direction that they were looking for. And I'm telling you, if you need to hear from God, if you need direction for your life, if you need to know what you're to do and when you're to do it and how you're to do it, you need to go into a time of worship, because worship sets our hearts and focuses our eyes on Him. And when I see Him clearly, I'll hear Him clearly. Y'all with me today? Y'all are quiet today. I'm going to come get you. So listen, we have to stop looking at everybody else. We have to set our eyes on Him. We have to praise Him for who He is and what He does. Praise Him for what you understand and praise Him for what you don't understand. Because the good news is, even what I don't understand, I can trust Him. He is my God. He is your God. And I love that. And He draws us near with worship, and then He sends us out so that we can proclaim what God is doing. And I left this question with you. Does the way you worship attract people to Christ? Because you see, God always intended us to live on both sides of worship. Spirit-filled worship draws us in, and then the truth we learn and grow fills us, and worship then sends us out to the world who needs to hear from God. You are plan A, and there is no plan B. Do you understand that? It's like, well, maybe somebody else will witness to him. Nope, God chose you. Well, I'm not very comfortable with it. Yeah, well, the cross was comfortable. So what should our worship look like? When I say worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, what does that look like? I think for us to give genuine worship has to be grounded in gratefulness. I think that's very important in our approach to God. I think all of us are blessed. I think all of us need to be grateful for what we have. Even in times of struggle, we are still blessed. I think another thing is thankfulness. That needs to be in our hearts and is at the heart of genuine worship. You know, when you come into His presence, you can't help but thank God for who He is and what He's done in your life. How many of you look back and just see the hand of God on it? God has saved you. God has led you. God has guided you. God has protected you. You worked really hard and messed your life up. God stepped in and has pulled us out of some stuff. God has saved us from some stuff. Other things, God's given us strength to get through it. And God does both. Please don't be disappointed this morning if you didn't pray and a miracle didn't happen and all your problems just vanished. Sometimes God says, okay, yeah, no, we're going to get out of this, but we're going to walk out of this. No, Scripture says, this too shall pass. Sometimes it's like a kidney stone. Am I lying? Am I lying? Sometimes things pass and sometimes it hurts and sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's painful. And sometimes you're like, Lord, I've learned my lesson. Take it away. And He says, no, no, no. We're going to walk this out. But God gets us through, and there's a lot of reasons we have to praise Him this morning, that a lot of reasons we have to lift our hands and give Him glory. But even things that cause us pain are just part, or can be part of what God uses to move us towards Him. So we need to learn to stay in His presence, to learn and to grow through those times. So how do we get into His presence? Well, our text this morning, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture that shows us how to worship and tells us what worship needs to include. And I'm not talking liturgy, and I'm not talking rules, and I'm not talking six steps to guarantee anything. I'm just talking David took his heart and he put it on paper, and I think it's a beautiful portion of Scripture that tells us how to enter into worship. And let's read it today. Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I read once that the Bible is shallow enough that the most immature can play without drowning, but it is deep enough that the most mature can never touch the bottom. That is Scripture. And that is Psalms 100. And it gives us this impression that there's a way to enter into God's presence. And I've seen people on both sides of this, okay? God is willing to meet with us anywhere, anytime, but there's a way to approach Him. We must come into His presence with a heart and a mind and a spirit that is acknowledging that we are in the presence of the King. Are you with me today? You have entered into the presence of the living God, that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, that demons flee, that no sickness or disease can stand up to, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the presence you walked into this morning. That's the Spirit that you came into this morning. And I think that we can learn that when I'm going to enter into the presence of the King, I need to make sure I'm ready for the King. Read the book of Esther. Read all that she went through to enter into the presence of the King. And I'm telling you, man, this is something we got to get. This is something we got to hear. And I'm not talking about, well, you have to wear a tie if you're going to meet with God. I don't care if you wear a tie. I don't care if you have shorts on. I don't care if you have flip-flops, as long as your toenails aren't nasty. Oh, they're pointing at you, my friend. They are pointing at you. That's cold. That's cold, man. That is cold. Listen, I think it's about our mind. I think it's about our heart, and I think it's about our spirit. When we come into the King, man, we need to be ready to meet with the King. And so, do you ever have a big meeting with your work or with your job? You got a presentation to make. Are you prepared for that? What do you do to prepare for that? I mean, you want to be right. You want to be ready. You don't want to walk in, have somebody ask you a question and go, yeah, I don't know. You study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what you're doing. And I think the same thing needs to happen in our times of worship. The same thing needs to happen on our Sundays and our Wednesdays and on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We need to prepare to be in the presence of the King. Did you prepare this morning to enter into God's presence? See, for a lot of us, that might include fighting with your spouse on the way to church. Screaming at your kids because they have two left shoes on. You don't even know where they got two left shoes. You know. Knowing what time you need to leave, but knowing what time you're going to leave. Is that fair to say? Did you prepare your mind, your heart, and your spirit to worship the King this morning? Because He is here. Where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst of them. And so David, in Psalms 100, he lays out this protocol. He lays out this way to enter into the presence of God. And so we're going to break it down a little bit. Psalms 101, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You see, when you look at this passage, it's referring to a glad shout or to give a blast on a trumpet. And what would happen is whenever the King would come out, whenever the King was going to come from where he was out to where the people people could see him, there was something that would take place. They would blow trumpets. The people would shout. They would acknowledge the presence of the king. And that's what David is talking about. He's saying, you're going to shout because God is here. Stop and think about that, what your problems are today. Stop and think about what you brought in here today. The one who can heal, the one who can deliver, the one who can save, the one who can change you is here. And we walk in and he is here. And there should be a shout of praise. There should be something that stirs in our spirit and stirs in our heart because God is present with you. It's like you seeing someone famous on the street. You ever watch some of these interviews where people walk and they say the dumbest things? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Yeah, I know who I am. And that's what it's like. How many Seinfeld fans do we have here? All right, there was a Seinfeld episode where Kramer thought he saw Joe DiMaggio at the cafe, Dinky Donuts, and he was dunking his donut. So he wasn't sure it was him. From the side, it looked like him. And so he said, well, what I did, I just kind of started making noise. Woo! Woo! He goes, Jerry, I think it was him. That's kind of what it's like. God is here. His presence is here. And it can also mean a shout of triumph. That when we come to worship, our agenda is to meet with God. And guess what? God's agenda is to meet with you. Man, that ought to make somebody shout. And I'm telling you, we lift our voices, we sing, we shout our praise. And this is not rude, this is not disrespectful, but when we are worshiping, we can't just be quiet because we're worshiping the one who loves us like no other. Who has loved you like God? Who has been with you like God has been with you? Who's been as faithful to you as God has been faithful to you? See, we're not raising our voices to draw attention to ourselves. We worship because the presence of the Lord is with us. Yes, good. I'm not raising my voice and singing out so you notice me. I want God to notice me. Like the man outside of Jericho who heard Jesus pass by and cried out to him, oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd tried to quiet him. And the crowd tried to shut him up. You leave him alone. He's too busy. You're nobody. You're nothing. You're an outcast. You just sit there, be quiet, and let the rabbi go through. But it says he cried out all the more. He didn't care if the crowd heard him. He wanted Jesus to notice him. And what happened? Jesus stopped and turned and went back and said, what do you want me to do? And the man said, I want to see. And God raised him up and that man went. And his life was changed because he cried out to the God. He didn't care what other people said. He wanted God to notice him. So whenever I'm in his presence, I have to give thanks. There's a joyful shout that ought to come from my spirit. I have an alabaster box I need to break every time. And it's a shout of joy and of love and of victory. Psalms 100 verse 2, the first part says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve in the scripture has kind of twofold meaning. One is to say, serve in a broad way, an overall way of life, to kind of serve your whole life. But the second way means a more specific activity. It's more narrow. It's a personal use of the term. And in Psalms 100, it's focusing on that second definition. David is talking about praising God. We give God glory, honor. We speak and sing praises because he is God and he's worthy of it. And in this portion of scripture, it's focused on giving God honor. John MacArthur defines it this way. Honor and adoration directed to God. That's what he defines worship as. A.W. Tozer gives us a more expanded version. He says, God wants to cultivate within us the adoration and admiration of which he is worthy. He wants us to be astonished at the inconceivable elevation and magnitude and splendor of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let me break it down. God wants to blow your mind. God wants you to come in and be overwhelmed by his presence and overwhelmed by his grace and overwhelmed by his mercy and overwhelmed by his faithfulness. He wants you to see him more fully so that our only response is to worship and to serve him with gladness all my life and in every moment I can. God, I don't want to miss a moment of serving you. Psalms 100 verse 2, the second part says, come before his presence with singing. The NIV says to come before him with joyful song. You see, our shouts turn to songs. Most of the time when we express our gladness and our joy and our praise, we do so through music. You ever notice that? Sometimes it's even, you know, when we pray, we can sometimes do it. But a lot of time you turn on a song in your car, you sing along. It comes out that way. Songs that we sing don't create those things in us, but rather they help us to express what's in our heart. How many of you ever heard a song and go, that's right where I'm at? That's what I feel. That's what I'm experiencing. He's singing about God set him free. Man, I know that God set me free. He's singing about God gave the victory. Man, I know there was people at work. They were against me. They were talking about me. But I prayed and I believed and God brought the victory. And that's my victory song. And we experience these things. As David's saying that it's through worship that we approach God. Worship is not a bridge that leads us to God. It is the experience with God. Worship is powerful. And I said this last week, if you need clarity or breakthrough or healing or whatever, worship. It's a means by which we connect with God at a heart level. And in Scripture, there's 575 references to praise or singing or music that are found in the Bible. And in the very center of this book, with 150 chapters of worship songs, is this book called Psalms. And all of them are meant to be sung. If God dedicated an entire book of Scripture to songs that are meant to be sung, I'm telling you, there's something to this that we need to get. Music has always played a special role in the connection between God and man. We worship God through music, not music itself. Do you hear me? I don't want you to walk out of church going, man, that band was on point today. Man, that drummer, that guitar player, oh my goodness, those vocals. See, our focus needs to be on God. I want you walking out of here saying, man, God touched me today. We were worshiping. I just felt the Holy Spirit just come. And I felt the Holy Spirit, man, I was nervous about some things. I've been dealing with some stuff. Man, I have a confidence right now because I've been in the presence of God. It's not about making our name famous. It's about making His name famous. That's what it has to be about. John MacArthur says this, music and liturgy can assist or express a worshiping heart, but they cannot make a non-worshiping heart into a worshiping one. The danger is that they give a non-worshiping heart the sense of having worshiped. So the crucial factor in worship in the church is not the form of worship, but the state of the heart of the saints. If our corporate worship isn't the expression of our individual worshiping lives, it's unacceptable. And if you think you can live any way you want and then go to church on Sunday morning and turn on worship with the saints, you're wrong. Yeah. Got quiet on that one, horse. Psalms 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. David says that in our worship, there needs to be a moment that we acknowledge that He is God. In our worship, if it's really going to be God-focused, we have to focus on God over our stuff. Because if you're not focused on God and you're focused on your stuff, whatever you focus on is the Lord of your life. Whatever you focus on is going to be bigger. God says, come in and focus on me. Because I am greater than. Like a soldier saluting a high-ranking officer, we have to recognize when we are entering the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We acknowledge Him. We surrender to Him and we submit to Him. Years and years ago, was Brooks, I think, what, you were sixth grade right after we came. How old were you when we went to Baltimore Aquarium? Ninth birthday. Brooke, one of the ninth birthday kids. And We took her and a whole group of friends to the Baltimore Aquarium, and Sierra was with us, and we were going through the Baltimore Aquarium, and everything was great, and everything was wonderful, and all of a sudden, we realized Sierra was no longer with us. And how old was Sierra at the time? Six. She's 6 years old. And so, you know, you just kind of think you're looking, and looking a little bit turned into looking a lot, and looking a lot turned into us letting security know, and they shut the whole building down. And we were looking for well over an hour. And they were checking the tanks. I mean, this was like serious stuff. This was like went behind, I'm sure she's here too. What has happened? They were checking bathrooms. They were checking cameras to see if someone had taken her and left. And I just continued to roll through the building and roll through the building and roll through the building. And we were a couple hours into this, shutting down this whole aquarium. And I'm sure people loved us. Every time people looked angry, I'm like, yeah, what's up with that family? You know? And finally, hours later, I go through and I'm walking through yet again and I find her up at the top level. What is it, like the rainforest? And she was kind of hiding there. And I came up and I saw her and I'm like, Sierra, what a baby, where have you been? And she was there the whole time. And I said, baby, security guards have been coming through. People have been calling your name. People have been looking for you. We've been worried sick. And she looked at me and she said, I wanted you to find me. I wanted you to find me. I wonder if that's how God feels when we come in and worship Him. I wonder if that's how God feels when we come in and we're giving Him praise. I wonder when we come in and we say, you know, Lord, I'm in a great place in life and I got things that are going on and things are good and there's people who love me and there's people that make me happy. But you know what, God? I want to worship You. They bring joy, but You're living waters. God, I want to give You praise. I want You to find me. You're my God. You're my King. You're the living water of my life. And I want You to be the focus of my heart and of my soul. Psalms 100 verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. David is telling us how we can open doors into God's presence. You see, the gates were part of the outer wall that surrounded the temple grounds, and you would enter the temple by going in through these gates. And as we enter God's presence, we enter with thanksgiving. And this is the part of the place in our lives or in our experience of worship that we give God thanks. All of us have something to thank God for. All of us have something to give God praise for, and we give Him thanks at this place for all that He has done. And once you go through the gates, then you enter His courts. It's the inner thing. And there we praise, and here we give praise, God praise for who He is. And as we enter and move closer to the presence of God, you got to understand something. Praise is not the same as worship. Praise anticipates what is to come. Praise precedes worship. Praise is the way to enter into worship, and worship is the way to have an encounter with God. David Edwards in his book, Worship 365, says this: when we praise God, we are ringing the doorbell, making our presence known, letting Him know that we have come to see Him. When He hears our praise, He gets up to open the door and invites us in. And when we go inside, we move from praise to worship. In other words, praise is the vehicle into God's presence, and worship is what we do once we get into God's presence. While God is everywhere, omnipresent, God's revealed presence occurs when we worship God. God has chosen to manifest Himself in the praises of His people. David wrote of God, but You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Psalms 22:3. God is enthroned in our praises, thus our praise creates the atmosphere for an audience with the King, and we come before Him with thanksgiving and praise on our lips and in our hearts. That's good stuff. The rest of verse 4 challenges us to praise and to give thanks and to praise His name. And the word usage in 4, some translations say bless, other ones say praise, and what it means is to kneel. It means to show honor and respect to God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Worship in spirit and in truth will always involve a falling down at the feet of Jesus. It's what I love about the cross. It's the great equalizer. I don't care how much you have or how much you don't have. We all come to the cross. It doesn't matter your past. You could have been saved 30 years or 30 minutes. We all come through the cross. Why? Because of what we know about Him. That's where we do that. Now David then reminds us that God is good. In Psalms 100 verse 5, he says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. In His love, His mercy, He is gracious and kind. Now some translations actually use the word love instead of mercy. And what it talks about there, it's meaning a covenant love. That God has bound Himself in a covenant or a contract with you that He will never break. His truth is sometimes translated His faithfulness, and it endures through all generations. God is not fickle, and God is not forgetful. He doesn't just want you around when He wants you around. You are loved completely and continually. God does not change His purpose or break His word. The Lord is good. And when we try to grasp that with our minds and our hearts, the greatness of our God, the holiness, the wisdom, the goodness, and His love, His forgiveness, His grace and mercy, that every name of God is a characteristic of God's love for us. I'm telling you, the only response we can have is to worship Him. You see, the heart of worship is to bless and to surrender and to give Him glory. Heartfelt worship is to be gripped in the depth of our hearts by the goodness and the love and the faithfulness of God, our Creator. And in that moment, God is revealed. Worship is not the shout or the singing of thanksgiving or the praise, but they are all bridges that build us into worship, which is the encounter with God. That's why, man, you can experience God driving to work. You can experience God after everyone else has gone to bed and you're just kind of sitting out in the living room reading through the Scripture. That's why God can wake you up in the middle of the night. And you wake up and you think you're going to go back to sleep, but God says, no, I want to talk to you for a minute. You can experience the presence of God in those moments. They will change your life. Worship His audience with the King. So make a joyful noise, First Assembly, to the Lord all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Amen. 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 Can I get you to bow your head this morning? Listen, what is the Lord? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? Does your worship attract people to Christ? And I'm not talking about the way that you sing. I'm talking about the way that we live our lives is an act of worship. That we come in and we enter with thanksgiving. We enter with that praise. We enter thanking God for His faithfulness and His love. And then we take that next step into praise and acknowledging who He is. And then He has audience with the King. This morning, right now, in this moment, you have audience with the King. And He is worthy. And He is deserving. And I want to ask you, how did you prepare for worship this morning? Throughout our time, did you make a joyful noise? Did you serve with gladness? Did you sing and know that He is God and enter with thanksgiving and praise because God is good and His love, His covenant endures forever? Worship His audience with the King. So what do you need to say to Him now? What praise do you need to give Him now? What thanks do you need to give Him now? What need, what prayer? When you have audience with the King, what do you need to carry and bring and lay at His feet and say, God, You're greater than this? You have audience with the King. So come. Bring your needs. Bring your burdens. Bring your hurt and bring your pain. Bring your scars and bring your past and bring your tomorrows and bring your right nows. Bring your hopes and bring your dreams. Bring your unsaved. Let's pray for your unsaved. But come to Him when you're in the presence of the King. Because it takes but a moment for everything to change. It takes but a moment. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to stir your hearts. I'm going to ask God. And all I ask you to do is to be obedient to God. You don't have to do what I'm going to say. You just do what God asks you to do. And I'm cool with that. So I'm going to open up our altars and friends in worship. When we get audience with the King, that's the time. That's the moment. like the blind man sitting outside of Jericho. There was a lot of reasons for him to be quiet. And people told him, leave him alone. He's too busy. You're nothing. He's something. Some of you are thinking, I got a whole day full of stuff. I got lots of things I got to do. I got to get home and get that and do these things. But you have audience with the King right now. And I'm telling you, it's not the time to say, oh, tomorrow or next time. I'm telling you, it's the time to cry out all the more. It's the time to step out all the more. It's the time to say, I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust. And you know what? If I pray this week and it doesn't seem to change, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust God every day this week and I'm going to trust Him again on Sunday because He is my King and He is my God. And when I praise and I'm thankful because even sometimes in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of struggle sometimes, I still have so much in my life to be thankful for. So I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to be grateful and I'm going to praise Him for who He is. And it's going to bring me into worship, which is the experience with Him. And when I have audience with the King, I'm going to lay my burden down every single time. I'm going to break my alabaster box because He and He alone is worthy of it all. My only response is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So He is here. He is here for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, stir hearts, God. Those that are here, Father, that have burdens. God, those that are here today who have things that they're dealing with in their life. And God, I don't pretend to know them all. But they are real and they are impacting. Father, we know that You are greater than everyone. And so, Father, in our moment of audience with the King, we're going to bring it and we're going to lay it at Your feet. And Father, I'm telling You, when there's worship, there's clarity and there's breakthrough and You move in it. So, Holy Spirit, move right now. Let the sick be healed. Let the broken be made whole. Let those that are lost, Lord God, those that wander, find direction in who You are. You are our God, and we acknowledge that. You are our King, and we acknowledge that. We come to the courts with thanksgiving. We enter Your courts, Lord God, with praise. We acknowledge who You are, and we lift our eyes off of our burdens. We lift our eyes off of these things, and we set them on You. But we're going to bring it to You, Lord. We're going to bring it to You because we have audience with You. So help us cry out all the more. Don't let our pride keep us quiet. Don't let our people around us, don't let time, Lord God, hold us back as we enter into Your presence and we seek Your touch. In Jesus' name, if you're here today and you've got things, you've got stuff you need to carry and just bring to Him and lay it down, would you come? Don't make it about anybody else. Don't make it about anybody else. You have audience with the King this morning. You have audience with the King. And when He is close, you cry out. David said, make a joyful noise. I'm not asking anybody to sing, but man, your heart can worship today. Your life can worship today. Your spirit can worship today. And give Him what He is worthy of and deserving of. And we need to do this in Jesus' name. Jesus, I'm going to have the worship team lead us. We're going to have our prayer team. We can come and pray with these folks. It'd be awesome. If you're here today and you haven't come forward, but you need to, don't miss this. I'm telling you, in moments, Kairos moments, where time and destiny meet, where God's life and His plan and His purposes intersect with your life and your plans and your purposes, and we meet God in those things, we are never the same. We are never the same. So if you need to be here, come. I'll come back in a moment and close us out. God bless.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without You, I fall apart, 'cause You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more, for grace is found, it is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free, cause holy.
Isaiah, the closing prayer. But if you're at the altar, I don't want you to feel like you have to go anywhere. We're going to tarry here with you, and we're going to continue to pray for folks. If you're here and you didn't receive prayer, but you would like prayer, when we're done, I want to invite you to just come. I want to invite you to come. Take the time when you have audience with the King and let God have that moment. Give Him praise. Give Him worship. Meet Him there, because we will be changed. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for Your Word that is true to us. I thank You, Lord God, that You gave us this amazing book, Lord God, that teaches us so much about who You are. And God, it taught us today how to worship You, the protocol of worship, how we come in and we want to give You honor and we want to give You praise and we want to have a joyful shout, Lord God. And we want to honor You, Lord God, in every way and shape, because You desire our worship and we are giving it to You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, You inhabit the praises of Your people. Thank You, God, for giving us audience with the King. Thank You that we can have this not just on a Sunday morning. We can have it every day of the week, morning, or even whenever it is, when we take that time with You and set our hearts and set our minds and set our spirits on worshiping You. Worship is the encounter. So, Father, as we go from this place, may Your Spirit go with us. May You lead us and may You guide us, Father. May You help us to represent You well, God. May You give us strength and wisdom to speak Your name and encourage and bless those that are around us. May You make our hearts sensitive, Lord God, to people that You've surrounded us with, that we might be an encourager and a strength and a light. I pray, oh God, that Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, will cover each and every one of us. You'll keep us from harm. You'll keep us from pain. I pray, Lord God, that You will provide all that is needed. Those that are looking for work, God, I pray that doors will open. Father, promotions are going to come. Why? Because You're a good God. Thank You, Lord God, for loving us like nobody else. And we give You praise and we give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May God bless you. May He keep you. And may His face always shine upon you. You guys have a great week. Tell somebody about Jesus.